Psalm 91. We have been talking about Psalm 91 for quite some weeks now, with a little intermission. But we've basically looked at verses 1 through 9 already, or 10 maybe. But let's just pick it up at verse 9. Let's read Psalm 91 and verses 9 through 13. It says, "Because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation, there shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shall you trample under feet." So this is either really, really, you know, this is either just some kind of poetry from an ancient document, or it is the word of the living God to us today. And we need to make that decision. Every time we read something in the Bible, we think, well, that sounds too good to be true. We just need to make a decision. Do we believe it, or do we just put it in the, nah, that doesn't work category? But I tell you, angels are real. The Bible says he has given his angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. And we would just want to start to look at angels a little bit. And when you look at the church world, there is a lot of information and misinformation about angels. You know, we have these two extremes, as always. In some churches, you don't even talk about angels. It's not even a topic. Maybe it's mentioned when you read Psalm 91, but angels, it's this concept. Well, I don't really know what it is. We don't talk about it. You know, they just don't talk about it. And then on the other side, of course, as always, you have this extreme where people just teach only on angels, and that's one of the most important things you need to understand, and they just start to make stuff up, and they blow it so out of proportion that suddenly that's wrong too. So for those of you who know me, you know that now I would like to go to do like an 8-week study about angels and what they do in our lives and what their job is and what the Bible says about that, but we're not doing that. People are like, we're not doing that, but, you know, we just want to have a general overview. What does the Bible say about it? And we want to look at it in connection with Psalm 91. We want to look, and your little angel, if it's the number 4 and 0 to 2, is winning. It's a mighty warrior angel that is right now conquering that classroom, so if that's you. But but we want to look at angels in connection with Psalm 91. And I started to study it, and of course it's a really, really cool, really important topic. But we're still talking about Psalm 91. We're still talking about God's protection and about what angels have to do with that. So, first of all, point number one, angels, God's angels are probably not what you think they are. All of us, you know, we have this idea in our head what angels are. We have an image. When I say angel, you have an image in your head. There is, you know, something in your imagination that you think what they look like or what they could look like, what they are, what they do. And it comes through the arts, you know, through the paintings, the murals that we have. You have the little angels, the little babies, you know, that are. Have you ever wondered how these fat babies can fly with these tiny wings? I never got that. I never did. But they have to flap a lot. That has to be exhausting. And how do you aim bow and arrow while you're flapping like crazy? I never got that. But okay. But we all have, you know, this idea. And I think when you're a born-again Christian, I think you're beyond this idea of a little baby with tiny wings. But still, you know, we have our own thoughts about angels. And the Bible, when you look at the Bible and study the topic, you will see the Bible has much more to say about angels than you thought. But the Bible actually has much less to say about angels than you thought. Sometimes when you hear some people, you think like that's all you see in the Bible. No, it's not. On the other hand, you do see a lot in the Bible, and that's what we want to stick with, right? We want to stick with, you know, what does the Bible say? And basically, the Bible tells us angels are messengers. Angels are God's messengers, and that's what the Hebrew word and that's what the Greek word means. And it actually can refer to people or spiritual beings. You see in the Bible, for example, that there's a prophecy that before Jesus comes, God will send his messenger. And we know from the New Testament that that messenger, same word, you know, angelos in the Greek, angel, was John the Baptist. So it can refer to people and it can refer to spiritual beings, to the spiritual beings created by God. And that's what he's talking about here in the 91st Psalm. Right? He's talking about spiritual beings that were created by God, that are his messengers. And the word messenger does not just mean somebody with a message. Right? It's not just somebody that appears, gives you the telegram, and then leaves. A messenger is just somebody that is sent for a specific purpose. They are, the Bible says, they are servants of God. You know, God sends them. They do the will of God. They do what God wants. The Bible calls them, the Bible calls them warriors. The Bible calls them strong and mighty ones, which is kind of not the fat baby with the tiny wings. The Bible calls angels strong and mighty ones. The Bible calls angels warriors. We see in the book of Revelation that they are worshipers of God. We see in Hebrews chapter 1, you know, it says that when Jesus entered the world, it says that he said, let all the angels worship him. Let all the angels worship him, right? The angels, one of their jobs, one of what they do, if you read the book of Revelation, you'll see that, you know, there's worship going on in heaven. So they are serving God, worshiping God. They are warriors. And here's what I believe, and you can check your Bible if that's true. I believe the main function of angels in the Bible is warriors. I believe when you have an image of an angel, you should imagine a strong, mighty warrior and not a fat baby with tiny wings. I believe their weapons are far more effective than just a little bow with arrow. I believe that, Alex, why do you believe that? Well, here's why. Have you ever read in the Bible that God is referred to as the Lord of hosts? The Lord of the heavenly hosts? Now, here's the thing. We see that in the Old Testament, 235 times we see God being referred to as the Lord of hosts. And the word host, all that means is armies. He is the Lord of the heavenly armies. And that is, the name of God is revealed 235 times in the Old Testament as the Lord of the heavenly armies. And then you see in the book of Revelation, we see that again. We see how the armies of God, how angels, how they are fighting against Satan's angels. Because an angel, when you read about angels in the Bible, it's not just referring to God's angels. It can be a good angel, it can be a bad angel. The Bible says Satan disguises himself as the angel of light. So that is why it is so important to really stick with the Word of God when it comes to that topic. Because a lot of people have tried to contact angels or pray to angels and do all the things the Bible specifically tells us not to do. And whenever you contact the spiritual realm, the supernatural realm, outside of God's word, will, and authority, you will have a bad time. Because then all bets are off. Your protection is gone. You cannot dwell in the secret place of the Most High, ignore his word, ignore his will, ignore his authority, and just do whatever you want. The Bible says angels are not to be prayed to. The Bible specifically says angels are not to be worshipped. And, in fact, you know, there was an angel who appeared to John in the book of Revelation, and John fell down and worshipped him, and he said, no, don't worship me, worship God. Yeah, I mean, specifically, so if there is any angel that has ever appeared to you or someone you know that has ever allowed a person to worship him, you already know this is not a messenger from God. And you know because you know the Bible, and that's why it's so important to know this. We don't have to guess. We know what the word says. So they are strong ones, mighty ones. They are the heavenly hosts. They are warriors. They are the heavenly armies. When you see the Bible talk about angels, you constantly see the picture of an army. You see that they have a command structure. The Bible says the angels of the Lord, they are camping around those who fear the Lord, right? They set up camp. That is a military term too. There is a military camp of angels around those that fear the Lord. So the Bible over and over keeps referring to angels in military terms. So I'm not saying that's all they are, but I believe one of their main jobs and one of the main revelations we get from the Bible about angels is they are warriors to fight and to serve God. They're under His command, created by Him. So that's kind of a different picture, right, of an angel. It kind of goes beyond this funny idea that we have because of all the movies. But they are heavenly armies. They are sent out by God. And that's point number two. They are sent out by God. They have been commissioned by God to protect you. We read about the Lord of hosts, the heavenly armies, the mighty strong angels that are sent to do the will of God. And what is the will of God? The Bible says He has given His angels special charge to keep you, to protect you in all your ways. We read that in Psalm 91, verse 11. And in Hebrews chapter 1, actually, and you can turn there if you want to. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14. You know, this is the part where it talks about angels. You know, it says, let all the angels of God worship Him, and God makes His angels spirits. You know, they're spiritual beings. Spiritual beings created by God. But then in Hebrews 1:14, it says, are they not all ministering spirits, serving spirits? That's what that means. They are serving spirits sent forth to minister or to serve them who shall be heirs of salvation. One of the reasons why God has angels is to serve you. They have been sent out, commissioned to protect you and to serve you personally. Personally. We all know that there is, even in the world, there is this concept out there of a guardian angel. Now, I have a problem with that kind of concept because, you know, people just make stuff up and they just, you know, come up with all these funny things. But when you look in the Bible, it sure does look like it. Every one of us has at least one angel personally assigned to you. Just let that sink in for a minute. The Bible, it looks like there is a specific, at least one, specific angel that has been personally assigned to you, to minister to you and to help you. And I want to show you that in Acts chapter 12. Now, if that's true, if it's true that God has at least one angel personally assigned to you, wouldn't you want it to be a warrior? Wouldn't you want to have a personal spiritual bodyguard? I mean, wouldn't that be better than just an angel just flapping behind you all the time? This little baby. All right, Acts chapter 12. And we'll just read starting in verse 5. We'll just make it quick, but it's good. It says, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church to God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said to him, gird yourself, bind on your sandals. And so he did. So there's an angel that appears, all your shackles fall off, and the angel actually has to tell you to get dressed. That's interesting. Okay, get up. That's basically what he did. He said, get up, get dressed, and get going. Here's a sermon series. TM, I trademarked that. You can't steal it. Anyway, and the angel said to him, gird yourself, bind on your sandals. So he did, and he says to him, cast your garment about you and follow me. And he went out, followed him, and knew not what it was, that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision, which is really interesting. You know that you are used by God in the gifts of the Spirit where these things happen, and you're not sure. Is this real now, or is this a vision? You know, you kind of know they were expecting these kind of things. But when they were past the first and the second ward, they came to the iron gate and that leads to the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and immediately the angel departed from him, which is really interesting. The modern concept, the New Age concept of angels, is you just have these things hovering over you, and they appear and they, you know, disappear, but they are kind of like your spirit guides. You know, in this New Age version, oh yeah, I have an angel, and the angel talks to me, and the angel speaks to me, and the angel, you know, that's occult stuff. That is not what the Bible says. In the Bible, you see angels appear, they do their job, and they leave, and that's it. You don't see them just hovering over you all the time and just speaking to you and guiding you. The Bible says we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. He leads us, he guides us. The angel's job is a little different. That's not their job. All right? But then it says in verse 11, when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Peter knocked at the door of the gate, and a servant girl came to answer. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran and told how Peter stood before the gate. Then they said to her, you're mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. So I don't want to make stuff up. I don't want to interpret too much in there than there actually is. But all I can tell you is the early church believed that everybody has an angel. The early church believed when that guy came, somebody was knocking at the door, they heard the name of Peter or something about Peter, said, well, that can't be true. They've just been praying for it all this time. You can tell how much in faith they were. But you know, he says, you know, well, that can't be true. Must be his angel. It's a weird thing to say unless you believe that God has sent out his angels to minister to us, that God has sent out his angels to serve us, and that everybody has assigned at least one. You can read in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10 how Jesus said, do not despise any of the children because they're angels. Behold the face of the Father in heaven at all times. So Jesus was referring to their angels, not just angels, their angels that were assigned to them. All right? So that is what the Bible says. Let's not make stuff up. Let's not make things bigger than they are, but let's take what God has given us. You, if you're sitting here, and if you know God, if you believe in Jesus, if you are a born-again believer, there are angel forces that have been assigned by God to minister to you, to help you, and in the context of Psalm 91, specifically to protect you. To protect you in all your ways. And now that begs the question, if that is true, why? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? If they really bear me up on their hands so I don't even dash my foot against a stone, why did I twist my ankle the other week? That doesn't really add up. You know, why did all that happen? Well, here's the thing. Number three, yes, number two, they have been sent out to protect you. Number three, they're waiting for you. They're waiting for you. They're waiting to hear from you. See, they have been sent out already. They are sent. They have the commission. They have the order to serve you. And just like Jesus and just like the Father, they will not do anything unless you allow that, unless you allow it in your life, because they are supposed to serve you, not rule over you. And we have read in Psalm 91, it starts with, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." I will say this of the Lord. And then we read on and we saw that it says, "You have made the Most High your habitation." How? Because you have said He is your habitation. And that is what we see in Psalm 103 and verse 20. The psalm, and that's the, I'll close with this. In Psalm 103 and verse 20, it says, "Bless the Lord, you His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening to the voice of His word." They are listening to the word. They are listening to what God says. They are listening to the word of God, and we see in Psalm 91, the word of God has to come out of your mouth. It has to be something you say, something you put in your mouth. It's not just something that automatically happens. All these angelic forces, they have been with you. They have been commissioned to serve you. They are God's servants on your behalf. When Jesus was about to be taken captive in the garden, you know, Peter, you know, he took his sword and he cut off the ears of the priest's servant, and he wasn't aiming for the ear, I guess. I hope we know that. But he was, was Jesus using the force there? And he just wanted to split his head in two. Jesus was like, whoo, you know, and that's pretty cool. It's easier to heal an ear than, you know, but anyway. That would be, you know, it's so great for the movies, you know, they just take the ear and they just heal, you know, his ear. And that's so much better than having a split head and, like, putting it together. That sounds like something my daughter would ask me. But you know, what happened then is, you know, Peter tried to defend Jesus with a sword. And Jesus said, "Peter, don't do that. Don't you know that I could pray to the Father and He would send..." How many legions of angels? I don't know, but it would be 72,000 angels. He said, "Don't you think that I could just ask the Father and they would be here right like that?" Have you ever done that? Have you ever asked the Father for angels? Have you ever asked the Father for that? Don't pray to angels. We don't pray to angels. They are servants. They don't have anything to do. We have a direct access to the Father through the name of Jesus. But, you know, sometimes we can use angelic assistance. And I have been doing this for a while now, you know, with my kids. I said, "Father, I thank you for your angels. I thank you that they will be around my children. They will bear my children on their hands. They will protect my children. And if anyone comes close to my children and tries to harm them, let your angels do whatever they want to do to keep them from doing that. I don't care what it is. I'm hinting the Bible talks about an angel of death, but I don't care what your angels need to do to protect my kids. You said no harm will come close to them because you've given your angels charge over them." So I've been praying to the Father. I don't pray to angels, but I thank Him for His promises, for His angels, and I speak His word, and I know that they are sent out and they're obedient to the voice of His word. Now think about all the stuff that we have missed out if we don't really know what the Bible says about angels. It's really cool. It's really wonderful. God's promises are awesome, and they are for you. Joe Morris, you know, he's coming at the end of October. Be there. He has seen a lot of great stuff, and he has some great stories about how he was in meetings and he saw angels bring new hearts and new brains, and, you know, in services, you know, how he turned around and suddenly there was this huge angel that, like, filled the whole room, and, like, they brought new organs to people in a vision. So really interesting, right? So we have a really cool minister coming, but... God has given His angels charge over you. They are sent out. They are at your disposal. And you can ask God, and He will send, and they will serve, and you will be protected. But do that. Let's do that. God is never at fault. Did you know that? God is never to blame. He is never the problem. He's a good father. He is a good father, and he loves you. That was a good cue, wasn't it? He is a good father, and he is never to blame. It's never his problem. Let us take him at his word. Let's speak his word. Let's ask him, pray to him according to his word. And boy, all the heavenly hosts, the heavenly armies, they're at your disposal. They are there for you. Amen? Amen. Amen. So let's get up and let's thank him for that.
He's good. Amen. He's so good to us. You see, when God says that he's good, that we know that it's a perfect, godly, holy goodness. It's not just something that makes us feel good. Oh, yeah, I don't need that, right? We're in English. It's not just a feel-good God. He's good. The Bible says that he's so good that he will chastise us. That's a word we don't like to hear. That means he will correct us. And sometimes we don't like what he says. Our flesh doesn't. But because he loves us and because we're his children and we are not, as the Bible says, bastards. And I'm going to use that word clearly. God's word. He will speak to us and correct us. He's just not giving us sweets and chocolates. He doesn't want us to have cavities. He's a good, good father. And because he's so good, and we have to close the service, we don't want to finish and close the service without giving someone or some people the opportunity to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. The Bible says that everyone who's received him, everyone who received Jesus, you know, they have been given the right, and some translation says the power to become the sons of God. You see, in order to enter the kingdom of God, we must be born again. He wants us to, everyone to be born of the Spirit of the living God. I'm not supposed to preach, but to invite you, but sometimes all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. And we need the grace of God. We need Jesus. We need our Savior. We need the Lord, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. We need him. So I invite you that if you don't know Jesus, you can't say that you know that you know that you know. You have a surety that if you died today, that you would be going to heaven. If you do not know that for sure, I ask you to come to the front after the service. We have people at the front who love you because God so loves you. They will show you in the Word how and what you need to do to receive Jesus. Amen. And if you need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, endued with power from on high to speak with a heavenly tongue, speaks the mysteries of God, releases power in your life, then please come to the front afterwards. Don't miss that. It's a free gift. It's a free gift. Please come forward.